Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We love you.
Zijn we dankbaar voor alle kijkers van Hour of Power.
En dat is juist de kracht van mijn geloof.
God will do incredible things in your life.
Van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. En we hebben vandaag wel een heel bijzondere uitzending. Namelijk een registratie van het live event van Hour of Power. Vorig jaar gehouden in de Midden-Nederland Hallen in Barneveld. En wat was het feestelijk. Want het waren 3 avonden in het land met Bobby en Hannah Schuller. En wat hebben we velen daarvan genoten. En als je er niet bij was, dan kun je dit nu meemaken en beleven. Niet alleen Bobby en Hannah Schuller waren aanwezig. Bobby sprak overigens over moed houden. Maar we hadden ook een fantastische muzikale omlijsting met Elvis E., met Sarah Grand Prix, met Remco Harms. Een indringend verhaal van bokser Robbie Hageman. En ik zou zeggen, ga enorm genieten van deze uitzending. Een uur lang registratie van Hour of Power Live. Wat geweldig om zoveel blije gezichten te zien. Ik liep daar straks langs de rij buiten en ik zag geen grijze haren, alleen maar jonge mensen. Dus ja toch? In ieder geval zijn jullie allemaal jong van hart. Het thema vanavond is houd moed, geloven in onzekere tijden. En mensen, wat leven we in onzekere tijden? Maar deze avond, die zal je niet out of power, maar full of power naar huis laten gaan. We zijn verenigd rond dat thema wat we lezen in de Bijbel. Geloof, dat hebben we. Hoop hebben we. Liefde hebben we. En daar voeg ik aan toe, houd moed, juist in deze tijd. We zijn blij dat u hier bent en we hopen dat we een hele mooie avond hebben. 40 jaar geleden leerde ik dominee Schuller kennen. En ik was direct onder de indruk van deze grote predikant. Die markante man die daar die geweldige Crystal Cathedral bouwde. Zo'n 25 jaar geleden werd ik bevriend met Bobby Schuller. Toen was hij nog maar 17. En ik zag wat een enorm talent hij is. En nog steeds, want we genieten elke zondag van zijn fantastische preken. Die echt uit het hart geboren worden. En uit een diep en overtuigd geloof. Samen met zijn vrouw leidt hij Shepherd Grove. En we zijn ontzettend blij dat ze hier zijn. Gisteren kwamen ze aan op Schiphol. Een beetje moe, maar ik vind het ontzettend leuk om ze thuis over de vloer te hebben, want dat is supergezellig. En ik zou zeggen, een warm Hollands applaus voor Bobby en Hannah Schuller.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Hey! This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hello, everyone. Welcome. What a joy. Thank you. Please be seated.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. It's such a privilege to be here. We're still waking up. We're feeling better now because the sun is up in Los Angeles. It was down for most of the day, but it's up, so we're feeling good.
And I just want to welcome our Dutch family. You know, this morning we were eating fresh croissants and cheese, and we're like, we are officially in one of our very favorite countries. So it is just such a joy to be with you right now. And you know, God is here in this place, and he sees you, and you are so loved.
Bobby and Hannah, why is the Dutch ministry of Hour of Power so important to you? We are the flagship, aren't we? I'm very proud.
Well, yeah, for the internationals, for sure. I mean, we were talking earlier about how our journey for Hour of Power, this year we've been at the helm for 10 years, and it really started in Holland.
I know.
When they were struggling, you needed some extra sermons. Hannah and I were pastoring a small church in a bar called the American Legion. There, we had a small church of young people. We did a lot of work with the homeless. But we came out here and preached 10 sermons in one weekend. We did it twice for Hour of Power in Hilversum. Some of you were there. And those were the sermons they used later to say, hey, maybe Bobby should, you know, and Hannah should do this. So it's a big, my grandpa was Dutch. We love Netherlands. It's an important place to us.
Yeah, I remember very well that you gave 10 sermons and I had to rush to your room and say, Bobby, come to the church. There's another sermon waiting. And you gave sermon after sermon in 2 days. That was wonderful. And it was also a great foundation for the Hour of Power in Netherlands. What do you want to say in Dutch to our friends here?
Well, it's just that little thing, you know, called Houd van jou en ik ook. I'm glad. Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yes.
We're grateful to be here. Thank you. So, Father, we thank you and we love you. Jesus, stand with us in this time. Lord, we are all precious in your eyes. Every single person in this room is a treasure to you. The way that we love our children, you love us, not because of what we do or what we have or what people say about us. You don't see our trophies. You don't see our mistakes. You see Christ crucified, and you see us completely renewed and transformed. You love us, and we thank you for that. Lord, this is for an audience of one. This is for you, God, and we pray that this time of worship would bring joy to your heart. We thank you, and we bless you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Achtste vertrokken en je bent als eerste hier. Hoe heb jij gelopen, joh?
Doorgelopen. Ik zei van tevoren dat ik niet alleen was, hè. Dat heb ik altijd in mijn hoofd gehad.
Dus eigenlijk bijna alsof je op water liep?
Bijna wel, ja.
Ja, hè?
Maar wat bedoel je dan? Je bent niet alleen?
Nou, hij vroeg me wat mijn drijfje was. Ik zei, God.
Oké.
Dus dan ben ik nooit alleen.
Dus daar haal je kracht uit? Oké. Dan hoop ik dat die kracht bij je blijft. Want het stopt niet hier. Je mag de weg vervolgen door de rivier. Blijf gaan totdat er wordt gezegd dat je mag stoppen. Succes.
Die mag je hier laten.
Die mag je hier laten.
Als iemand zoveel kracht uit zijn geloof haalt, vind ik dat toch altijd wel mooi om te zien, man.
Zeker, bijzonder.
Vrienden, bijzonder verhaal van een bijzondere gast die ik ook in Hour of Power heb mogen interviewen toen ik zijn bijzondere verhaal hoorde. Hij is tweevoudig wereldkampioen, onder andere Thai boksen. glanzende carrière voor zich. En iemand die van het geloof eigenlijk niets wist. Je hoorde hem net in Kamp van Koningsbrugge, dat bekende programma waarin het uiterste van mensen wordt gevraagd. En ik ga hem graag interviewen. Ik heet Robbie Hageman, van harte welkom op het podium. Robbie. Vriend, Robbie, we gaan even terug naar het begin. Je bent een beroemde bokser, je hebt een boksschool, bekende Nederlanders komen les bij jou nemen. En dan op een avond, je ligt te slapen in je slaapkamer, lekker met je vrouw en je kleine zoontje. En dan wordt de deur ingeslagen en dan staan er een aantal gewapende agenten bij je bed. Waarom?
Nou, ik had mijn auto uitgeleend. Ja, mijn auto leende ik wel wat vaker uit. We hadden er toch twee en aan de foute vrienden dus. En met die auto werd een poging tot overval gedaan die avond. Dus de deur werd eruit geklapt en politie. Ja, ze kwamen de kamer in en werd hardhandig meegenomen naar Rotterdam.
Je wordt meegenomen, je wist van niks, door de politie en je komt in een cel in Rotterdam terecht. Wat gebeurde daar in die cel?
Ja, ik zat in een cel en er lag een klein boekje, Jezus is de weg. Ik ben wel Rooms-Katholiek opgevoed, maar eigenlijk nooit eens echt met het geloof gedaan. Ik bidde alleen wanneer ik dat nodig had. Ja, 23 uur op cel is heel lang. En de tweede dag denk ik, weet je wat, ik sla de boekjes open. Maar ik heb dat boekje gelezen en daar kwamen twee dingen heel sterk naar voren. Eén, waar je ook bent, je moet de Bijbel hebben. En twee, waar je ook bent, je moet altijd bidden. Dat kwam voor mij ook heel sterk naar voren. Dus de derde dag, bewaker, die komt me van het kickboksen en die zei van, Hageman, wil je een boek? Ik zeg, de Bijbel alsjeblieft. Oh, ben je gelovig geworden, Hageman? Ik zeg, geef de Bijbel maar. De Bijbel gekregen, die heb ik op dat bijzettafeltje gelegd in de cel. En verder stond er ook niet veel. Op mijn knieën gegaan, handen gevouwen. Ik denk, de Bijbel heb ik al. Nou, dan moet ik alleen nog maar bidden. Handen gevouwen. Ik zeg, God, als u me vandaag vrijlaat. Want er stond 3 maanden tot 1 jaar met goed gedrag voor, zeg maar. Ik zeg, God, als u me toch vandaag vrijlaat, dan ga ik voor de rest van mijn leven naar de kerk. Ja. Op dat moment wordt er op de deur geklopt en zegt Hageman, kom maar, je bent vrijgelaten. Dus ik kijk.
Dan ga je een grote bokswedstrijd houden. Je wordt knock-out geslagen. Je valt bewusteloos op de vloer. En wat dan?
Ja, dat was mijn eerste officiële wedstrijd voor Glory. Ik had de try-out in Amsterdam Arena tegen een Ajax-Ziet. Als Eindhovenaar gewonnen, dus dat is heel mooi. Mooier kan niet eigenlijk. En toen kreeg ik een kans om in Ahoy Rotterdam mijn eerste wedstrijd te doen. Tegen een hele bekende Marokkaanse jongen. Die zei 3 weken van tevoren af. Kwamen ze met een veel zwaardere tegenstander. Heb ik ook die partij aangenomen, wat ik eigenlijk niet moest doen. Achteraf wel dus. Ik ben ook oud gegaan in de partij. En dan is Glory ook de enige bond in Nederland waar je een hersenscan moet doen. Nou, ik dacht ik ben gezond, dus vanwaar een hersenscan? Ik heb die hersenscan met 5 maanden uitgesteld. Ik ben de kampioen in mijn eigen gewichtsklasse gaan uitdagen. In de min 70. Die partij kwam, maar Glory zei, je moet nog wel die hersenscan doen. Nou, die hersenscan deed ik. En de dokter had nieuws dat hij aan niemand wilde vertellen. En goed nieuws. Het goede nieuws was dat mijn hersencapaciteit na 20 jaar klappen hetzelfde is gebleven. En het slechte nieuws is dat er een gezwel zat dat later een kwaadaardige tumor bleek.
En een hele forse tumor. Toen je hoorde dat je dat enorme gezwel had, toen wist je ook, het kan zijn dat ik dit overleef, maar het kan ook zijn dat ik het niet overleef. Wat zei je toen?
Nou, de dokter denkt, levensverwachting 10 à 15 jaar. Dat is wat korter geworden bij mij, omdat het eerder terug is gekomen. We zitten al 3 jaar in het proces. Maar ik ben nog zo fit als dat ik gisteren was, of dat ik voorheen was. Ja. Ik denk wat bij de mens niet mogelijk is, is mogelijk bij God. En ik was eerst heel erg verschoten, maar achteraf ben ik dankbaar dat het niet mijn vrouw, kinderen, ik heb 3 zoons, of mijn vader of moeder was geweest. Dan had ik het, denk ik, veel minder goed kunnen relativeren. En voor mij is een mooie bijbeltekst, 1 Filippenzen 1:21. Filippenzen 1:21. Leven is Christus en sterven is winst. Dus, ja.
Leven is Christus en sterven is winst. Opnieuw ben je nu in behandeling. Je hebt je eerste chemotherapieën gehad, want het gezwel is weer terug. Ik vind het ongelooflijk zoals je hier staat. Wat zou je tenslotte als bemoediging aan mensen willen meegeven die hier misschien ook zitten met een ziekte of een zware ziekte in bij familie of vrienden is geconstateerd? Wat is jouw bemoediging?
Ja, wat ik zei daar in het programma Kamp van Koningsbrugge. Wij lopen nooit alleen, dus dan is de strijd toch al een stukje makkelijker. Ja, leven is Christus, sterven is winst. De dokter denkt dat ik nog 10 jaar heb. Dat ik over 10 jaar dood ga. Maar wij als christenen hebben het eeuwig leven. Dus ja, ik denk dat het alleen maar mooier is.
27 says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Can we just all say that together right now? Okay, ready? What is impossible with man is possible with God. Hallelujah. Now, Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there? God said that. Okay, let's all of us, let's answer back to God. Let's tell him, let's say, "No, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you." Okay, ready? "No, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you." Hallelujah.
Nog steeds zijn naam. Ik onbewust vertrouw op hem. De storm herkent nog steeds zijn naam. De storm herkent nog steeds zijn naam. Door alles heen, Heer, kijk ik naar u. U geeft rust in mij.
I want to invite you, whoever you are, would you stand with me? We're going to say this creed together as we do every single week. I want you to hold your hands out like this as a way of receiving from the Lord. And thank you, sir. We're going to say this together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share it with my neighbor. Amen. You can be seated. Well, isn't that great news? We don't have to worry or hurry. We can let God do all the worrying. That's good news. These are uncertain times, aren't they? Uncertain times in Europe. Mr. Putin is being in the south of America. He's an ornery outfit. He's an ornery outfit. And we don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine. And I hear Europe has a tough winter coming. I also hear Florida is having a rough spring right now. Lots of Floridians are underwater. There's a brutal storm. And there are many things happening all over the world that make the times uncertain. And wow, it wasn't that long ago when we were in a global pandemic. Are we still in a global pandemic? Perhaps we are, perhaps we aren't, who knows? Depends on who you ask. But those times were uncertain as well. But you know what was good is just before that, times were certain. Were they? Is there a such thing as certain times where you're certain? I don't think so. Here's what I would say if you're feeling afraid or if you're feeling like you're in uncertain times. Here's what I know. There are some things I can control. And there are some things I cannot control. What do most people focus on, by the way? Do they focus on what they can control or what they cannot control? What do they focus on? If I focus on what I cannot control, I become a scared, fearful person. And because I can't control those things, I become angry. And I push or pull or lash out because I need to find some sense of control. But if I control what I can control, if I focus on what I can control, those things go away and something different happens. I become the kind of person the Lord needs and people need in the world today. When I focus on what I can control, when I focus on my attitude, when I focus on the way I treat my friends, when I focus on the way I treat my enemies or people who say offensive things against me, I become something different. When I focus on what I can change and who I can become, everything in the world becomes different. There's an old hymn that says, "Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Let it begin here." If you're in an in-between place, we find ourselves there many times. Maybe you find yourself in an in-between place, in between a job, in between relationships or phases in a relationship, or maybe you just had a kid, or maybe in the U.S. we call it empty nesting. Maybe you just had a kid that went off to college and you're in an in-between place. What do I do? Lord, I feel you've called me to something. What do I do in this time? That's a great time to become a better version of you, to become the person you want to be, to become the person and to give effort to the training it takes to be different than the 99%. If you do the things that everyone else is doing, you're going to get what everyone else is getting. If you want what everyone else is getting, do what everyone else is doing. But if you want something different, do something different. If you want something different, change your philosophy. Your philosophy is perfectly designed to give you the results you're getting. Can I say that again? Is that okay, Jan? Can I say it one more time? Your philosophy is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. If you're upset at the results you're getting, it's a temptation to
Write up a blame list. Blame list. I blame the government. I blame that prices are too high. I blame that the weather is too bad. A lot of people will actually blame the weather for not going to church. It's raining. There's some people who say, that's the best time to go to church. Oh. There's a lot of reasons that you can do what's easy instead of becoming who you know you're called to be. And that's what everybody else does. Not you, my friend. Today's a new day. Today you will choose, I believe, to become who you've been called to be. And today I will convince you that it's worth the price. It's worth the price of entry. If you look at your life, what you really want in life, whether you know it or not, is heaven. I know how to get to heaven. I'll tell you about it in here in just a minute. I know how to get to heaven. But here's an interesting question. What is heaven? Or here's another question. Where is heaven? That's a good question. Where is heaven? Where is it? Heaven is anywhere that God is and his authority is being obeyed and his life is overflowing and his presence is known. Something like that. Heaven is anywhere that God's will is being done and done to the benefit of his children. Maybe that's a good definition. So where is heaven? Look around you, my friend. You're there. Welcome to heaven. A little bit, kind of. It's not like heaven will go to totally when we die, but when you gather with God's people and you experience the power of the Lord, you're getting a small taste of heaven. There's two prices to heaven. One gives you entry and one gives you benefits. Okay, guys. You hearing me? There are two prices you pay for heaven. The first price, none of us can pay for. It was paid by Jesus Christ. The only way to get into heaven is to be perfect, right? I haven't sorted it out yet. No one has. Christ paid the price on the cross so that entry fee, month after month, week after week, year after year, it comes out of a different account than yours. It comes from Christ. That's good news. That's what the gospel is. Anybody here think that's good news? I sure think it is. That's great news that I have a free entry. That fee has been paid. Now Christ asks me a second price. A second price that is never owned. It's rented. The life, eternal living. The kind of heavenly treasure that's made available today. Can I just pause here real quick and say, so many people go through life and refuse to make a decision. Some of you are here today, and you've left the Lord, and you were dragged here by your girlfriend, or you lost a bet. You were playing poker, and your best friend said, all right, if I win, you get 100 euros, but if you win, I'll go to church with you. No? No? Nobody's lost a bet and they're here? Well, you all want to be here, huh? In life, there are these moments when we can make a decision to just go in a different direction. When I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I didn't come down to an altar. I didn't even pray a prayer. I just said, in my heart, where my decisions are made, I'm done riding the fence. I will follow Christ today. Can I tell you, by the way, I've known lots of people to say, I went down the road of perdition and I ruined my life. I know lots of people who say, I lived a sinful life and turned my back on my children. I never get those years back. I know lots of people who said, I devoted my life to whatever, pleasure or sin. I ruined my marriage. I know lots of people who say, I devoted my life to drugs and alcohol and threw everything away, all the blessings that I have. I have never heard anyone in my life say, I chose to follow Christ and I regret it. Never once in my life have I met a man to say, I followed Christ with all my heart. I loved him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and I regret it. What a testimony that is. That before us lay two choices, two lives. One, to commit to the life that Christ lays before us, the way of life, and the other one, the way of death. Choose life now. Don't wait. Don't wait. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to come down. You simply choose in your heart, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Do that and you'll never be the same. Matthew chapter 13. This is the promise Jesus gives his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had, and he went back and bought the field. So this is probably based on a real legend, something that actually happened when the law of Rome was written, because in those days, you know, life was uncertain and short. Sometimes someone would come into fortune, inherit something, and maybe they go off to war or something. They bury the treasure because it's safer than a bank. But if that person dies or disappears, whoever owns the land owns the gold. Clearly, the landowner didn't know the gold was on his land, and the servant said to himself, if I buy this land, I get this gold. And Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like inside information. You know, in the United States, you have this thing, it's illegal. It's called insider trading, right? In the stock market, you're not allowed to do that. Jesus says, you can do that in the kingdom of God. I'll give you some insider trading, and you can do it, and it's not immoral, and it's good. Second part, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. Again, there's another legend of people who searched through the Red Sea or parts of the Indian Ocean to find a pearl. One guy apparently found a pearl and sold it in the Roman Empire for the equivalent of tens of millions of dollars, one pearl. And Jesus says, life in the kingdom is like that. Just don't quit till you get what you're looking for. Don't quit. So what is this treasure? What is this pearl or this strong box? What is this thing? This treasure? That's a good question, by the way. If you ask that question, that's good. What is the treasure? The treasure is the kingdom of heaven. How do I get it? Good question. That's a good question. That's the second question. That's great. How do I get it? You become a disciple. Here's an even better question. What is a disciple? What is that? Well, a disciple is someone who is trained. Disciple is the root word of discipline. You use this word in universities. Whatever subject you're studying is your discipline. It means that you're devoted to learning and developing and training something into your body and mind. There are two prices to be paid in the kingdom of heaven. The first price was paid by Jesus Christ. That's the entry fee, and that is the good news. You have a free membership to the best gym in the world, but the second thing you have to do is go in and pump some iron, figuratively. There's so many philosophies you can work on in the scriptures. There's so many great ideas. I could go on hours about not being hurried. I could go on hours about loving your enemies. I could go on hours about writing down goals. But I'm gonna give you three that if you do any of these three things from the scripture, your life will never be the same. My time is already up, but I'm gonna take 10 more minutes. I'm the pastor, I can do that, right? I'm just gonna do it. You guys okay if I give you the three things? Are you good? Three things. If you write this down, I promise you, this is a Bobby Shuler guarantee. If you do just one of these changes in your philosophy, you'll never be the same. These are the three things we look at for anybody who wants to work at Hour of Power. We ask, do they have these three qualities? Number one, are they linked? Are you linked in? Do you understand the power of people? The power of people is greater than the power of a person. Are you linked? Have you ever asked the question, forgive me, this is gonna sound condescending, but have you ever asked this question? How do so many dumb people get into power? Now, very often we ask that question rhetorically, but that's a good question. Now ask that question seriously. Seriously, how do so many people that seem kind of dumb have so much power? How? They're linked up. And you may say, well, that's not fair. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Or that's not fair. They leveraged their friendship. Or that's not fair because they, whatever. Friends, are you learning yet? You can either say it's not fair, or you can say, I can do that too. I can meet people. I can get to know people. I can find people interesting. I can serve people. I can connect with people. I can get more numbers on my phone. That's a better question to ask. It was said once that dogs are one of the few animals that don't have to pay rent to stay as pets in their homes, right? Cows have to give milk, chickens have to
lay eggs. The canaries have to sing. But dogs just get to, they just free room and board. Why? Because dogs love people. They just love people. You come home, that dog is so thrilled. You tell him all about what your sister-in-law said and how tough your day was, and he'll just sit there and he'll listen to every single word and he'll love you. He won't judge you. You tell him your deepest, darkest sin. You tell him the most horrible thing you've ever done. He'll just love you, lick your face. He'll your greatest thing. He'll sleep in bed with you, right? The dog. And can we say there are smart dogs and there are dumb dogs, but they all get free rent? Because they understand the power. They just love people. And you know what? They ought to love people because people are awesome. People are so interesting. In fact, that person that you think is so dumb, that's in leadership, I bet you get to know them and you'll find something really interesting about that person. Dr. James Davis, a new friend of mine, he came out and visited me. He called me on the phone. He said, I'd never heard of him before. He said, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm a pastor of this group of pastors. I want to get coffee with you. Can I just have 30 minutes of your time? I said, no problem. Sure, come on up to the office. We sat down. I said, so what brings you in town to Los Angeles? He said, you do. I said, wait a second. You just flew out here for a 30-minute cup of coffee? He said, that's it. My mind was blown. What a neat trick that is. If he had said, I want to fly out to have a 30-minute cup of coffee, I would have said, oh, no, I don't want to waste your time. Let's just talk on the phone, right? But he said, I'm going to be in L.A. anyway. While I'm there, maybe we could get a cup of coffee. No problem. The man has flown over 10 million miles, 104 times around the globe. He has a gigantic network of pastors and leaders. The guy is building a school on Mount Everest, and it's almost done. You're like, why is there a school on Mount Everest? It's in one of like the little villages. It's not up on the top, but it's up there. Who thinks that this guy did it all by himself? No, here's something Dr. Schuller taught me. Your network is your net worth. You can lose everything, but if you've got your friends, you can get it all back. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You say, I don't like people. You're probably not around very interesting people then. That sounded mean, didn't it? You say, I don't like to be around some people. Very often I find that people who don't really like being around other people, it's because you just, whatever, talk about the weather and nothing meaningful. But if you find someone that you can have a meaningful conversation with, you'll find the power of a person. The first one is, we gotta be linked people. We gotta be connected. The second thing is, we have to understand something about how our DNA and how we're made as people. That harm helps us. There's a philosopher named Nicholas Taleb. He's a Lebanese mathematician. And he described this as being anti-fragile, that you are anti-fragile. God made you this way. Anti-fragile means that something benefits from small amounts of harm. So think about it this way. When you think of the word fragile, what do you think of? Let's say champagne glasses, right? If you have a bunch of champagne glasses, stay away from the champagne glasses. It's going to crush and crumble or whatever. It's fragile. So what's the opposite of that? You might say bowling pins. But it's not the opposite, unless if you hit a bowling pin, it got bigger and stronger. So we have to look at Greek myth here. If you want to find the opposite of fragile, you have to look at something like Hydra. When Heracles fights Hydra, the many-headed snake monster, every time he cuts off one of the snake's heads, two more grow back. So you keep cutting off the heads and it keeps getting stronger and stronger. I know it's not flattering, but you're much more like Hydra than you are like a champagne glass, my friend. But you're like a Hydra that wants to be treated like a champagne glass. That's not good for you. That is what it means to be anti-fragile. Some politicians are anti-fragile. The more you talk bad about them, the bigger and better and more popularity they get. Books are anti-fragile. One of the best things anyone could ever do for me as an author is take a pile of my books, light them on fire, and say, these books are evil, don't you ever read them. I would sell more books that week than, you know, Tolkien or something. And the church is anti-fragile. When it's persecuted, it grows like crazy, and you are anti-fragile. The comforts you're naturally drawn to, you have to have them at some level. We have to rest. We need Sabbath. We need a break, but it should be a break from.
It should be rest from what? From meaningful work. The meaningful work of not just doing your career, but becoming a person. Work more on yourself than you do on your job. Work more on yourself than anything else. Focus on allowing these words to shape you as a person, and you'll see the power of being an anti-fragile person. We want to be linked in. We want to be anti-fragile. And the final thing is God's called us to be servant leaders. Be servant leaders, that we serve others. That we serve a master who washed our feet. We serve a master who laid his life down for us. And we must do that for others. We need to believe in people. Dr. Schuller taught me that any idiot can count the amount of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. You never know the power of a single person. God can see inside that person. It is not our place to judge how many apples are inside a seed, whether it's one or a million. But it's our job to give every effort we can to believe in every person we meet, whether they seem gifted or not, whether they're that we see everything, that we serve, that we mentor, that we give, that all of our biggest goals in life are geared around this, that we become the kind of person that those kind of people need. Finally, all of this stuff I'm talking about, if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter. It just almost doesn't matter, because he is the one that gives us the real heart, not up here, but in here. He's the one that gives us a heaven heart. We said, where is heaven? Luke says, heaven is within you. Is it within you today? Is heaven within you? For some of you it is. For some of you it's not. You left a long time ago, and you feel the sense of wanting to come home. Or even now, maybe you've never been a Christian, and you want to become a Christian. I want you to make a decision right now. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except make a decision and maybe tell somebody when you leave here that I'm going to follow Christ. Jesus says that if you have just the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Some of you say, 1% of me believes and 99% of me doesn't believe in God. Give God that 1%. See what he can do with it. Give him that little seed. Just give it to him. See what he can do with it. And you'll be glad you did. And you'll become the kind of person you were called to be. You're not going to find it anywhere else except here. Look around this room. It's full of people who can testify to the saving work of Jesus Christ crucified and raised again. The saving work of the Holy Spirit that calls us to be greater than we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here now, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the power to save. Let us never be the same again. We ask in Jesus' name that you would lay before us the kind of person that we're called to be, and that we would turn our back on the easy person, and we would turn our heart on to become the kind of person you called us to be. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate you.
Mijn verhaal. Ja, waar zal ik beginnen?
Ja, we hebben op een hele bijzondere manier elkaar leren kennen bij Hour of Power.
Ik had niks met geloven. Ik was er gewoon niet mee opgegroeid.
Ik sta graag in de spotlight, maar niet in mijn depressieve periode.
Ze was net zo enthousiast over Jezus als ik. Ja, en dat raakte me diep.
Ik heb veel hoogte- en dieptepunten gehad, maar de uitzendingen die hebben me kracht en vertrouwen gegeven.
Ja, ik lag depressief op bed, maar ik ging uitzending na uitzending Hour of Power kijken.
We zijn getrouwd en nu geven we samen de liefde door.
Ik kijk elke zondag 2 keer, want ik wil het goed begrijpen.
Zo vond ik liefde, hoop en geborgenheid.
Laat heel Nederland weten dat God liefde is. Met uw steun kunnen we blijven uitzenden. Word donateur op hourofpower.nl. Samen geven we de liefde door.
Wat is jouw verhaal? Daar begon de spot net mee. Mijn naam is Chris Timms, ik ben directeur van Hour of Power Nederland. En in de jaren dat we in Nederland uitzenden, hebben we honderden, zo niet duizenden, Hour of Power verhalen mogen horen. Verhalen zoals de 3 mensen net in de spot. Maar ik moet ook denken aan Christine, die een einde aan haar leven wilde maken door voor een trein te springen. Maar op het moment dat ze op het perron stond, hoorde ze de stem van dominee Schuller zeggen: God loves you and so do I. En ze besloot om het niet te doen. Of ik moet denken aan Marco, die een verleden heeft met geweld en drugs. En die op een ochtend, op een zondagochtend, letterlijk met een kater op de bank zat te seppen en bij Hour of Power bleef hangen. Op dat moment raakte God zijn hart en is zijn leven radicaal veranderd. Uiteindelijk zijn dit natuurlijk geen Hour of Power verhalen. Maar verhalen over de alles overstijgende liefde van Jezus Christus. Een liefde die herstel geeft. Een liefde die geneest. Een liefde die hoop geeft. Een liefde die moed geeft. In onzekere tijden. En deze liefde willen we met elkaar nog jaren blijven doorgeven. En daar hebben we uw steun bij nodig. Uw gebed, maar ook financieel.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Be gracious to you.
now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Ik hoop dat je genoten hebt van deze prachtige registratie. En Bobby Schuller had een indrukwekkende toespraak over moed houden in moeilijke tijden. En misschien een tip, want de vakantietijd breekt aan, dat je dit boek bestelt bij Hour of Power. Houd moed. En dan kun je dit dagboek ook in je vakantie lezen. Wat een prachtig geheel. En we hopen weer dat Bobby en Hannah volgend jaar terugkomen naar Nederland. Volgende week is mijn gast Elvis E., de prins die rijkdom werd geboren in Nigeria, in armoede terechtkwam en door een droom naar Nederland kwam. Hij vertelt zijn indrukwekkende levensverhaal. En dan Bobby Schuller, hij is in Israël en hij spreekt over Jezus volgen en natuurlijk ook heel veel muziek vanuit Shepherd's Grove. Ik wens iedereen namens Hour of Power van harte een mooie en fijne vakantie toe.
Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power. Al onze uitzendingen zijn terug te kijken op hourofpower.nl. Hier vind je ook onze webshop. Blijf in contact met ons via social media of mail ons. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.